Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today, whether you are in person or you are joining us virtually. We've got just a few announcements this morning. We are looking for some new folks to join the stream team. Chip has faithfully, for 13, 14, however many years, sat back at that console and has done our streaming and microphoning, and he's wanting to cut back to just one Sunday a month, rightfully so. And so we're looking for a few others who would like to learn how to do it so that we can continue to stream live, so that we have microphoning. Calvin, are you volunteering? Oh, he's volunteering his mom. folks who are willing to learn how to stream and do the microphoning so that each Sunday we can continue to have our microphones, have lyrics and such on the screen and project out into the World Wide Web. If you're interested, please see me or our council president, Lynn Dennis. A few weeks ago, sometime in June, I think, we had our graduation Sunday, and Taylor Fritz has sent in this thank you card. Dear Holly Grove, thank you so much for the prayer shawl and school supplies. I know both of these will definitely come in handy. I'm so thankful for a loving church family and friends. Love in Christ, Taylor Fritz. I also want to thank Dean Chapman. A couple of weeks ago, he took out a row of pews and moved this front ledge back so that we have a little bit more room in between our new piano and the pews. I know it was a piece of work, and so just want everybody to know that Dean continues to faithfully offer his time and energy here at Holly Grove, and we are very grateful. We've got a few birthdays this week. Travis Rose, Olivia Turner, Gary McLean, and Joe Hedrick, who is turning 80. That's a big birthday. And Gary and Judy continue to do well. Gary is doing a lot of rehab and therapy several times a week, and he is strongly determined that he doesn't want to come back until he can walk up these front steps. And so continue to pray for him in his rehab that they can come back and join us in person soon. And we have one anniversary this week. Boyd and Janice Queen are celebrating their 53rd wedding anniversary. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now listen to the prelude as we prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you.
please stand? We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Help save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Holy God, your word feeds your people with life that is eternal. Direct our choices and preserve us in your truth, that renouncing what is false and evil, we may live in you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Joshua, 24th chapter. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm is Psalm 34. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and God's ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to erase the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them and delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save those whose spirits are crushed. Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from everyone. God will keep safe all their bones. Not one of them shall be broken. Evil will bring death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. O Lord, you redeem the life of your servants, and those who put their trust in you will not be punished. Second reading is from Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message will be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. The word of the Lord. Speak to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is too difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Kate? Hello, Kate.
Hi, Calvin. Good morning, Cameron. Thanks for coming up this morning. Do you guys ever wonder why we do some of the things that we do in worship? No, not really. Do you ever wonder why we stand up when we have the reading of the gospel? You just go along with it. You know what? There are probably a lot of people do that, and that's okay. Well, in this morning's gospel reading, we learn that Jesus was teaching some of his disciples that they needed to eat his flesh and blood, and that was a really difficult thing for some people to understand and to believe. And so some of the people who had been following him, they decided to leave and not follow him anymore. And there were 12 people left, the disciples, and Jesus said to them, Do you all want to turn away too? And Peter, one of the disciples, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And do you know, every Sunday when we get ready to read the gospel, we sing those words, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Well, Alleluia means praise Yahweh. Yahweh is a name for God in the Old Testament. So when we read the gospel, we're praising God's name. And then we say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Yeah, those are the same words that Peter said in today's gospel lesson. And we believe that God's words do give us life. And so when we read the gospel lesson, we stand because we believe that Jesus is present with us when we read the gospel and when we hear the gospel. And so we stand as if he were entering the room out of reverence and respect and honor for him. So there are a lot of things we do in worship that we just kind of go along with because we think, well, that's how it's done. But everything has a special meaning, and we all do it for a reason. Do you want to pray together? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for the gift of children. Help us to understand why we do the things that we do so that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. Cameron wants to go down there because there are toys down there. It's really fun down there. Oh, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you a little story this morning. As many of you know, when I was 23 years old, I was adopted. And when I was adopted, not only did I get the gift of a wonderful and loving mother, but I also got the gift of her mother, a wonderful and loving grandmother. I love JoJo. She had a wonderful, gentle spirit. She was kind and loving, incredibly generous to anyone who needed anything. But I often wondered, could I truly be accepted into her family? I had been adopted by my mother, and I knew that she fully accepted me. But adult adoption is really unusual, and it's rare. And my mother and I didn't really even know how to go about it, let alone others who are unfamiliar with it. And so I often wondered, even though I knew my grandmother loved me, could she love me as much as she loved her other grandchildren? The other grandchildren that she had welcomed into the world at the hospital, the other grandchildren that she had watched grow and had loved them their whole lives long. My answer came a couple of birthdays after I met her. When I opened the gift, well, let me first say that my grandmother loved China. She grew up in the Depression, and as one of 12 children, they had very little. And so as she became an adult and worked for 40 years, she loved buying pretty things for herself, and as such had several different patterns of china. We have Christmas china and everyday china and her wedding china. And then she had the birthday china. The birthday china, for every person in her family, she purchased that person's birth month place setting, so that when we celebrated a birthday, each person sat at their chair with their place setting, with the birth month on the plates and the cups, and then the flower, the birth flower for that month. On the second birthday after I met JoJo, my gift from her was my very own place setting of birthday china. I was part of her family, and when we celebrated family birthdays, I had a place setting with my own birthday china at her table. It meant something to me because I knew that I was fully accepted and that I belonged and that she had embraced me and had welcomed me into her family. I was no longer a guest at her table. I was family. Beloved, this is the meal of our family. This is the meal of the family of God. At the font, we are adopted as God's beloved sons and daughters. We are marked with the cross of Christ, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. And in our baptism, we are also given a call to let our light shine so that others may see our good works and praise and glorify our Father in heaven. This is a beautiful calling, but it's a hard calling, one that we cannot in any way do on our own, for there is no good in us outside of God. But God gives us everything that we need to live into and fulfill this calling. God gives us the Holy Spirit and the nourishment and strength for our faith that we need in Holy Communion, in the bread and the wine, in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At this meal, we take into our bodies and our souls the very presence of Christ, so that our bodies may be the presence of Christ as we leave this place and go out into the world. Now, for most of us, we grew up believing this and knowing this, but today's gospel lesson reminds us of how radical this teaching and this belief is. In the gospel lesson, Jesus was teaching those who were following him that they needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. We know these terms, we know these metaphors, but I'm sure for the first hearers of this word, it sounded an awful lot like cannibalism. In fact, when folks gathered in homes in the early church and people were outside these homes and they heard talk about eating the body of Christ and drinking Christ's blood, it caused a lot of concern and alarm because who were these people who were eating people's flesh and drinking people's blood? It seems so familiar and common to us, but for Jesus's original hearers, for the early church, it was incredibly radical and unsettling and illogical. It was really difficult to believe. Which is why all the crowds that were following him, they left. It was too hard to believe. They couldn't do it, and they left. And what remained were 12 people, the disciples. I think this might be a word for us that sometimes there are going to be times when we are so faithful to the gospel and to Jesus' teaching that it's going to be hard for others to follow that and accept that, and they might leave. Jesus' teachings can be radical, unsettling, and difficult to believe. So I thought what we might do this morning is take a little refresher back through our catechism. How many of you remember studying Holy Communion back in your confirmation days? A few of you? Well, we have two sacraments in the Lutheran Church. Baptism and Holy Communion. Both are gifts to us in which God gives us grace. We receive grace in our baptism, and we receive grace in Holy Communion. We literally get to ingest God's grace. When I say taste and see that the Lord is good before you come forward, you get to taste God's grace. Each sacrament contains an earthly element, water, bread, and wine, and it has been instituted by Christ. Those are the two criteria for a sacrament: that it contain an earthly element, and that it is instituted or commanded by Christ. And as Lutherans, we believe that when God's word is spoken over the elements, and it is proclaimed over the bread and the wine, that the presence of Christ becomes a part of them. This meal isn't simply a remembrance or an acknowledgement of what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus' very presence becomes part of the bread and wine when God's word is spoken over them. Martin Luther wrote this: "The true body and the true blood of the Lord Christ are in and under the bread and the wine." It is true indeed that if you take the word away from the elements or view them apart from the word, you have nothing but ordinary bread and wine. Right now, we just have bread and wine on the altar. But in a little bit, God's word will be prayed and spoken over these elements, and Christ's presence will become a part of them, in and under them. I don't know how all this happens, but it's one of the beautiful mysteries of our faith that when God's word is attached and bound to the bread and the wine, they become for us Christ's very body and blood. Some of you have heard this story before, and I'm sure you'll hear it again because it's one of my favorites to tell. But years ago, the very first time I attended a Lutheran church, I knew that my soul had found a home when the pastor offered the post-communion blessing: "The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace." I knew when I heard those words that the elements that I had just taken into my own body, they weren't symbolic. I hadn't just eaten bread and wine. I had taken into my body Christ's body and blood, and Christ's body and blood had the power to strengthen me and keep me in God's grace. I still, when I get to say those words now as pastor, feel incredibly moved and humbled. Luther also writes this, that communion is food for the soul. This is the original soul food. It's food for the soul because it nourishes and strengthens the new creature. We become new creation in our baptism, and every time we come to God for forgiveness of sins, God continues to create us anew and anew. We are new creations, and God nourishes us and strengthens us for the work that God has us to do in the bread and the wine. Luther says this: "The Lord's Supper is given as daily food and sustenance so that our faith may be refreshed and strengthened, and we may not succumb to the struggle, but become stronger and stronger." I like that because there's acknowledgement that life is a struggle. Life is hard, and right now it seems like life is really, really hard. We're more than 20 months into a pandemic. It's recently gotten worse, and we're having to remask and be careful again. I've known two people this week who have died alone from the virus, even though they were vaccinated. We're weary of the virus. We're weary of the pandemic. We're weary of seeing so many people struggle and be in pain in Haiti, in Afghanistan, here in Davidson County, in our own families and in our own lives. Life is hard, and there are a lot of struggles. Not to mention, our sin-sick selves are always prone to wander and leave the God that we love. But then every Sunday, we come back to this place, to this sanctuary, to confess our sin, to receive forgiveness from God, to remember at the font who we are and whose we are, and to be fed and nourished so that we might be renewed and strengthened for the work that lies outside of this place. Brothers and sisters, come today and come regularly to our Lord's table. Come and let your faith be refreshed and strengthened. Come and receive forgiveness of sin. Come and receive God's grace and comfort. Come, let Jesus nourish your body and your soul. At God's family table, there is a place just for you. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of courage, bless all leaders of your church. Make them ready to proclaim the gospel of peace and strengthen them to preach your loving word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of creation, bless fields and orchards, protect the land from drought, and bring life-giving rain to support growth. Instruct your people in wise treatment of the world you have provided for all your creatures. We pray especially for all places experiencing wildfires. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of community, bless all who seek justice between nations and peoples. Give guidance to bridge builders, heal divisions, and inspire cooperation in times of crisis, disaster, and war. We pray for all the people throughout the world who are struggling, being oppressed and harmed, especially the people in Afghanistan and Haiti. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, bless all who are in need. Accompany all who are lonely and feeling abandoned, and remind them of your abiding presence. Accompany all who are suffering in mind, body, or spirit, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold, and Myra, Gary and Judy, Bill, Jimmy, Sherry, and all of our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of change, bless our transitions. Guide all who are embarking on new stages in life, such as a new job, new school, or new community. Sustain enduring friendships and rekindle new relationships and interests. Lord, in your mercy, God of comfort, bless all who mourn the deaths of their beloved ones. We give you thanks for the saints who have gone before us. Renew our confidence in your promise of resurrection and life in the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those known in our hearts only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
stand? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Jesus, bread of life, you have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with mercy and grace. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us recite our mission statement. As united people under God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Go in peace, serve the Lord.